All right, welcome back to Talking Taker. This is episode lucky number 13 of our encyclopedic exploration, digging up the career of the WWE's greatest creation. We want to thank you for joining us for yet another round of Dead Man Talking. My name's Alex Dorio. I am joined once again by my tag team partner and martial arts expert extraordinaire, Travis White. How you doing there, buddy?
Oh, just tightening up my black belt here. Not at all, ladies and gentlemen, but that's thrown in there because old Chuck Norris is a special enforcer in this match. Spoiler alert for those of you who don't know. Oh, man, some good stuff to come here in
some
this match.
Great stuff to come here. Survivor Series 1994. We are closing out another year of the Undertaker's career. We are going through, in case you don't realize that now, episode 13, we're going through every pay-per-view match of the Undertaker, one match at a time, going in deep on all these matches, so that we are at Survivor Series 1994, and like we said, this will be the last year that we can run through really quickly. After this, we're going to start having more and more pay-per-views every year. Going to extend the journey a little bit more. But this wraps up a year where Undertaker has been really the focal point of the WWF. Yeah, he's been in the main event three times, three different pay-per-views. And just really, really shining a spotlight on how he is the cornerstone. He's not the champion at any point. Bret Hart is, and briefly Yokozuna, they're the champions. But it just goes to show that Undertaker is the main attraction at all these shows.
Yeah, absolutely. Which we mentioned that, you know, a couple episodes ago, just about how he doesn't need that anymore. You know, Vince just builds, he's the attraction match, which he'll definitely go on to become at WrestleMania. You know, that's almost like the main event match at WrestleMania, you know, years down the road. So, yeah, I think it's really cool. He really is the focal point of it all, even when he was away for 8 months.
Right.
Coming back and main event SummerSlam, main evented here at Survivor Series. Not the world champion, but main eventing. It kind of reminds me of like when CM Punk was world champ forever and John Cena kept main eventing off pay-per-views. Because we knew who the real focal point was.
Exactly.
But anyway.
And we're going to wrap up this year as we started it with a rematch from Royal Rumble 1994. We are at Undertaker versus Yokozuna in yet another casket match to close out the year with a very special added stipulation of a guest troubleshooting enforcer. You know, we said Undertaker is the star here, but the real star of the show is Chuck Norris coming in to referee on the outside and prevent the shenanigans of Royal Rumble 94 from occurring.
Well, yeah, because maybe if we'd have known back in January, maybe Undertaker should have brought Chuck Norris with him there, and he could have won the match. Because, yeah, 10 guys interfered, and no one from the back helped him.
Right.
No one from his Survivor Series team last year helped him or anything.
No.
So now we've got, you know, not a fellow WWE employee, WWF employee, but Chuck Norris, Walker, Texas Ranger himself.
Yeah. So this would be, you know, for younger listeners, I don't know if you're out there, if we have any really younger listeners, but this was definitely pre the whole Chuck Norris meme, Chuck Norris jokes, all that sort of stuff. I mean, Chuck Norris was
legit.
Yeah, he was a legit television and movie star. When he gets announced here, he's called unquestionably one of the premier movie stars in the world today. I wouldn't go that far, but he was on this show, Walker, Texas Ranger, which I looked it up. It ran for 8 years on CBS.
I didn't miss an episode. Not one. I'm not lying.
Oh, man. It used to come on before Raw, too, the reruns of it. It was a top 40 show when this Survivor Series came out. But the next year, it went into the top 20 shows on TV. So, you know,
Ooh, nice.
Walker got the Undertaker boost for the next season.
The
Yeah. I mean, he did have some successful movies and other successful TV shows. My big connection was I had a Chuck Norris action figure from his cartoon series. I used to have a Saturday morning cartoon, so I had a Chuck Norris action figure. And he was my main event guy in my action figure federation because before the action figures that we have now or even in the late 90s, WWF just had the Hasbro figures, which I wasn't a big fan of because they didn't have a lot of points of articulation. They didn't move a lot. They just could do a couple things. So I had the Hasbro ring, but what I did is I got my wrestling federation that I did storylines with were X-Men and Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, Batman.
Chuck Norris.
He was like my Kevin Nash. I love Diesel. So I made Chuck Norris kind of like a Diesel character. He held the title a bunch of times. He eventually retired to the commentary booth. But so I was stoked when Chuck Norris was announced for the troubleshooting referee. And
does he troubleshoot?
Oh, does he? And if you're out there wondering if Chuck Norris cuts promos on Yokozuna, then you better believe Chuck Norris cuts promos on Yokozuna leading up to this.
Yokozuna, don't get out of line. Because I'm going to be watching your every move.
It's definitely a time and place thing, man. It takes me back to being 8 years old. And like I said, I didn't miss an episode.
I did not know that about you.
I would just watch it with my parents. They'd watch it, you know. And I would walk in the room and see it, you know.
Yeah.
But I may have missed one or two, but you know, for the most part, it was a religious experience. We just sit there and watch it. I think it was Saturday night.
That's so weird, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was a big family night. Like,
it used to be a big TV night.
Yeah, and so I think it was Saturday night. I remember getting out of church the next day and stuff. So,
I think so, too.
Yeah, big fan. This is before all the memes and the Chuck Norris, you know, can slam a revolving door jokes and all those types of things. So.
Dude, can you imagine if Bobby Heenan and Jerry Lawler were on commentary just letting loose on Chuck Norris memes?
It would have been great.
That would have been awesome. They were awesome.
But here we are, Thanksgiving Eve, which I have a special note here. This is the last Thanksgiving Eve Survivor Series. This
interesting.
Is the final one. So, yeah. So, that's, I mean, 94. I thought that's kind of early from the end on Thanksgiving Eve. I guess this next year, I guess it really heated up with the Monday Night Wars and stuff, though. So, I guess they just really kicked into gear and needed them on Sunday nights and stuff. So, because they were really battling WCW starting in 95. So. But yeah, this is the last one on Thanksgiving Eve, and this is November 23rd, 94, from San Antonio, in the shadow of the Alamo.
Oh yeah, and they go all in on the Texas theme. Yes. We've got Vince McMahon. We've had musical commentary chairs this year, so this one is Vince McMahon and Gorilla Monsoon, which is okay. You're missing the heel color commentary guys. Right. You get two babyface guys, but two. Professionals, two great commentators, so you know it's fine. A little bit different on commentary, but they are in their bolo ties and cowboy hats.
It's so good.
Yeah, they don't do stuff like that anymore.
The shirt that Gorilla has on, I could see on like the cover of a Garth Brooks album. You know,
absolutely.
It is so good.
It's great.
It's fantastic, and not to mention the folks in the crowd.
Oh yeah.
Also look like that.
Oh yeah.
And the poster for this show is great too, with the like silhouettes, the four guys, and Undertaker like cutting his eyes at him, and it's really good.
I want that framed.
I would love to have that. If any one of our listeners has that, please tweet a picture up for us. So we'd love to see that. So, here's Undertaker resumes his rivalry with Yokozuna again. Another casket match. Did you recall them even mentioning the Undertaker match?
No.
I went back and rewound even before the match started. They didn't mention
it.
He returned. They talk about, and by they I mean Vince and Gorilla, talk about how he returned, you know, from his match, you know, at Royal Rumble. He returned to SummerSlam, and ever since his return, he's been hot on the heels, avenging his loss to Yokozuna, which there was a whole summer build up for him and the Undertaker that they just completely ignore. So I guess they really, you know, as we mentioned in our last podcast, it really wasn't the greatest thing ever, the story. So I guess Vince just chose to, you know, like he does sometimes nowadays, is, well, we just won't mention it. The fans will forget about it. So.
Right.
which back then was probably easier to forget about than nowadays.
Yeah.
I rewound it. I didn't hear them even mention that he fought the fake Undertaker or DiBiase's involvement with it. I mean, DiBiase comes into play later on and stuff, but as far as that whole SummerSlam match, they didn't mention who was against. They just said he's come back and he's been on Yokozuna's, you know, trail ever since, basically. So
the less said, the better, probably, about that, for sure.
You know, as far as, you know, I'm a big proponent of this storytelling aspect, and we talk about how it's different, you know, chapters of the book of The Undertaker, and they just kind of chose to heavily edit that chapter, rewrite it, white it out. So.
And I don't think they really did a whole lot of build for this match that I could see. I tried to go back, didn't have a lot of time, but I looked at a couple of the Raws leading up to this. Apparently they did a whole tour, house show tour of these matches, casket matches between Taker and Yoko. Yeah, they actually advertised it on TV. That was the main event. Wow. They just showed a promo of Undertaker talking about the heart attack tour. He's going to take on Yokozuna and casket matches. And I think they did. Obviously, they showed the Chuck Norris promos and built it up as the big Undertaker's revenge thing. But there wasn't a whole lot of storyline build. Yokozuna hadn't been doing much around this time. And he takes an extended break after this match as well.
Except eating. He's a big man.
He is very
big. He's bigger than he was at Royal Rumble. And they mentioned he's like 523 pounds or something, but then the whole entire match, Vince is like, he's over 600 pounds. I'm like, you need, like, which is it? Either way, 500, 600, they're both fat, but he's definitely lost a step since then. You know, we mentioned at Royal Rumble, they come out of the gate swinging. It's a great big man match. It's high octane. Not so much here. So
yeah, I wanted to talk about that too.
I put the blame on him, not Undertaker.
He's clearly slowed down a good bit, and I mean he's trying, but he's lost a step, and it's only been 10 months since we watched him last, and it's a little bit sad to see.
Oh yeah, but sure.
We'll get into that a bit. Like we said, Chuck Norris gets announced. He's
standing ovation.
Standing ovation. Pyro, huge entrance. Yeah.
Dude, that was a ton of fun. It was like a Monday Nitro opening. Yeah. Like, it was so much pyro.
It was great.
That's why they don't have any nowadays. They wasted it all back then.
Apparently, there was also a Paul Bearer lookalike contest before the show.
Yes.
The winner is in the crowd. He's not as good as the guy from... God, what show was it? It was a...
The outdoor one, right?
I think it was Survivor Series 92.
Yeah, there was a lookalike contest, cosplayer. Yeah, I can't remember what match that was that we mentioned that earlier, but that guy, the first cosplayer we ever mentioned was fantastic. This guy's not quite as good, but he still looks great. I mean, he still looks you know, better than I would have done. But.
Oh, we're definitely, if we ever do a live show, we're definitely having a Paul Bearer lookalike contest before the show.
For sure, to get in. Yeah, that's how you get in.
Yeah, 100%.
You have to look like Paul Bearer.
That has to happen. Then Undertaker's entrance is pretty sweet.
Yeah. I said that I mentioned, noted the crowd's back for popping huge for him. You know, that SummerSlam main event, they were good to see, happy to see him and happy when he won. But it was definitely, you know, it was a little lackadaisical because the match was what it was. But they popped huge. But he's got a cemetery on his Titantron video now.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool to see. You know, that he has that and Thunder and Lightning again. And Paul Bearer pushes out the swanky new double deep, double wide, double thick casket. And it's got the big old IcoPro giant injected urn sitting on top of it.
Well, again, they had something, too, I'd never seen before, was that the video screen, like, split parted. Open, parted ways for
which
him
WCW
to come out.
Which WCW would steal in 1999. Remember when they redid the set?
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Stole that. So, yeah, and in fact, when the video screen parts, I think Vince said something like, I've never seen this before. So, but he also, as Undertaker's coming out, Gorilla Monsoon says,
possibly the greatest force in the universe.
He's talking about Undertaker. The greatest force in the entire universe, man. That is putting him over hard.
Yeah, I wrote that down too. That's Gorilla. It was great. And then Vince talks, it was either Vince or Gorilla saying,
and many in this capacity crowd holding the lighters, signifying the eternal flame of the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Trying to get that over. not right. quite working. There were like two lighters in the crowd.
Yeah, there were about, yeah, two, somewhere between two and nine.
Not the same as Bray Wyatt's Fireflies.
Yeah, it wasn't like that. So, but anyway, he tried to turn that into something. So, but yeah, so getting into the match, I mean, he gets a good entrance, and he's back in, still in the purple and black again. I wrote he's got a fresh tattoo, though. His on his right arm, it goes up even higher up into his shoulder now. He didn't have it at SummerSlam.
Yeah,
because they tried to match Brian Lee's tattoos with him, and it stopped like his elbow. But now he's got an even more fresh tattoo. So just little doesn't mean anything, but we're just noticing, you know, how he's changing and evolving and stuff. So
I thought it looked like more, but I wasn't
100% sure. Yeah, it was for sure. So he does a throat slash, you know, and points at the casket, and Yokozuna freaks out and falls on his butt.
He bumps off a throat slash. That's my favorite part of the whole match, right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I loved that. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that before. That was amazing.
Yeah, my favorite part of the match is coming up, and it's also it has nothing to do with an actual bump, but I'll tell you what that is.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a great bump too. He just falls on his butt, and the crowd loves it. They pop.
Real yeah, huge. It was hilarious.
Again, so much can be said with nothing, you know?
Right.
Especially nowadays, it's so much fast-paced and high spots, and athleticism is fantastic. But even that little spot, as hokey and dumb as it is, it got the crowd off their feet, you
know? It did.
Like, or on their feet, excuse me. Not off their feet, on their feet. But he's scared. He's selling that he's scared again, because all fat guys have a fear of caskets.
Right.
You know? So he's scared. They go outside, and he hits his Undertaker hits his face on the steps, and he starts stalking Yokozuna, and they're back in the ring. It's kind of plotting match, you know, but that's just kind of Undertaker style back then, you know. He kind of walks around, stalks people, you know. But they do an old school, which gets a big pop again, and this is where my favorite part of the whole match.
Okay.
Is. The camera zooms in on Paul Bearer. He's like looking at the urn, making faces in it and going like, "Whoa, yeah!" And the camera just zooms in on him looking in the urn, and like, I just laughed out loud watching it. I couldn't control myself, and I just wrote down best part of the whole match. And we're only like 3 minutes into the match. That's my favorite part, and it will remain my favorite part to the end. It was so funny. And you talk about production, how did that camera guy just happened to be there, because you know he wasn't planning that. It's just like he was there, and he just zooms in on Paul Bearer. Just his nose is in the giant urn. He's just shaking his head back and forth, going, "Ooh, yeah!" It's so fun.
You can see the reflection of it because it's like polished, unlike the other urn was. So, I wrote down Paul Bearer is a national treasure. He's like a bored kid at a little league game, like when you're in the outfield and you would just like play with your glove or like throw your glove up in the air. Like Paul Bearer's just staring at himself in the urn, making faces. Just
the camera guy's right there for it.
Yeah, they go back to him doing it again later on. It's
which
great.
Means Kevin Dunn's in the production truck choosing to look at that, choosing that camera and go to camera seven. Like he chooses that, you know. So props to Kevin Dunn for his production.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, it's hard to contain myself now. That was my favorite part of the whole match. So.
Oh, man, that was great, too. At one point...
Samoan drop from Yokozuna after that.
Yeah, yeah. Yoko also gets whipped to the casket. He, like, puts on the brakes and stops at the ropes, and then he gets chopped onto the casket, and he doesn't realize he's on the casket. It's just all this sort of stuff. You know, Yokozuna, he's bumping like crazy. He's taking all sorts of bumps, but he's just can't go at the same pace, at the same speed that he was going. That's what I was saying. He's trying hard. I think it's like the most I've ever seen him bump for anybody. Mm-hmm. And he's selling a lot, but he's also leaning on the ropes a lot and taking lots of breathers and just, you know, just can't go at the same speed.
No, he couldn't. You're right. And I made that note too, just because, you know, it's sad to see, but
it is.
But yeah, he still does. He still bumps a lot for gives Taker a lot, you know, of offense here, and it's they just kind of go back and forth for a few minutes, and then Undertaker hits a Stone Cold Stunner on the apron, man.
Yeah.
And I just wrote this, and Vince says this all the time, and it's kind of a joke. He's just what a maneuver.
What a maneuver by the Undertaker.
What which one of these guys were the play-by-play? Gorilla and Vince? Neither one of them called, like, real moves.
No. I mean,
they say, like, diving clothesline, but, like, I don't know. There's no, like, you know, play-by-play guy to give you, like, the, you know, there's no Jim Ross to give you the what's going on or, you know, it's just, I love just, what a maneuver, and it's just, that's just classic, you know. It's like Tony Schiavone, full-arm dragon twist. That's all he ever said.
Right.
If he didn't know what it was, or it's just a scoop slam or something. But anyway, I just love that Vince is always just his go-to is, what a maneuver.
Yep.
So
neither one of their strong suits is calling the actual moves. That's okay.
Yeah. You know. But then, did you notice that after that Stone Cold Stunner gets hit, did you notice the next move Yokozuna does?
It's a little rock bottom.
Yeah, he does.
Big one.
Look at that, dude. He has Stone Cold Stunner and rock bottom back-to-back.
How about that?
I thought that was pretty neat, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, he hits a rock bottom. Then a big old leg drop, man. Big old leg drop.
Yep.
Starts rolling Taker to the casket and stops as the lid. No, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It stops as the lid closes, and they're both inside the casket now. They're fighting, and they're just kind of slugging away at each other in the casket, and Mr. Fuji comes up and pulls Undertaker's hair like a little girl from behind. I thought it was a perfect heel move, like, what a pansy, you know, just tugs at his hair from behind. So.
And then Jim Cornette gets knocked out.
Oh, yeah. By
Undertaker.
A bump.
Yeah, takes a big bump. Undertaker makes his comeback, basically slams Yokozuna down, hits a big top rope clothesline. Reminded me of Kane, one he does a lot. I think Vince or Gorilla, one of them says, like, I've never seen anything like that before. Like a top rope clothesline. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Find that hard to believe.
Meanwhile, what's Chuck Norris doing this whole time?
Just hanging out.
Just standing there.
Enjoying the match.
Just standing there.
Front row seat.
Right before
that. He's troubleshooting.
Oh, yeah, troubleshooting, my bad.
Yeah.
Right before that diving clothesline, Gorilla said, just lay there down in the center of the ring like a big beach whale. I was like, that's a little heinous. That's a little heinous, man. But yeah, then that top rope clothesline, and he starts rolling Yokozuna to the casket, and all of a sudden, good heavens, King Kong Bundy comes down the aisle.
King Kong Bundy.
Which is like future Big Show. When Big Show comes back when he always has no hair and no baby face.
Good
or
point.
No shape or no beard, we're trying to say. It's like Bundy. Anyway.
It's also a future Undertaker opponent. A little foreshadowing here.
Unfortunately, we'll get to that soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very unfortunately.
So, but Chuck Norris, man, gives him the death stare. Just stares him down. And then Bam Bam, Bigelow comes out.
Bam Bam joins him. Two members of the Million Dollar Corporation.
Yeah.
So keeping that thread open with Undertaker versus DiBiase's corporation.
And I guess they're going to put over Chuck Norris here because neither one of them will attack him.
Right.
It's Bam Bam, Bigelow, and King Kong Bundy.
Like, afraid of Chuck Norris.
Huge. They're both WrestleMania main eventers too, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they won't attack Chuck Norris.
800 pounds combined together.
Yeah.
Is the crowd chanting "Go Chuck, go"?
I think they are.
That is awesome.
Go Chuck, go. Is that like his theme song in the cartoon? I can't remember, but
I don't know. I love it.
It's so good. Yeah, so good. But then, in the meantime, IRS, a dirty, rotten tax collector, sneaks in from behind and starts attacking Undertaker in the ring, puts a sleeper on him. Almost puts him to sleep, man. He's a good sleeper. He's got on Undertaker.
Erwin R. Scheister. Oh, my God. I mean, this is the transition of the feud. This is who Undertaker is going to face at Royal Rumble 1995, the infamous Death and Taxes storyline or feud. And apparently they'd actually, like I said, I went through a couple Raws. They actually started building this feud up before Survivor Series. IRS was already cutting some promos in a cemetery, like repossessing a casket sort of thing. So they were already building that feud up, which I didn't realize. I thought this was the beginning of it, but apparently they had already doing it. And we'll talk about it more next week, but IRS has got to be my least favorite WWF wrestler creation of all time. And it just...
Whoa.
Oh yeah, I have a lot of hot takes on IRS.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah, I'm gonna back it up too.
Oh,
it just infuriates me when I see him on screen. I hate IRS. I hate that match. I hate that he comes out. Guys, yeah. So stupid. He takes down the Undertaker.
I know, it's kind of lame.
Oh, he's so lame. But
luckily, he works backstage now. This is why you don't pay your taxes still to this day, right?
Right. That's exactly why. Right. I refuse. Kidding, I refuse.
Yeah. He throws Taker in a casket, and
but he doesn't shut the lid.
I know. What an idiot! But the refs away. The referees come down, and Chuck Norris, and they face off with the big guys in the aisleway. But yeah, he goes, closes the lid, and Undertaker grabs his throat. I guess is that he grabs IRS's throat or is it Yokozuna's throat?
Yokozuna tries to shut the lid.
Yeah. Yokozuna's throat, and then Double J again. Talking about fish out of water here. Like what?
Why?
Like yeah, Double J's down, and he gets a thrust kick. They call it from Chuck Norris in cowboy boots. I remember watching Walker Texas Ranger and being like, he's killing these guys in cowboy boots. Like, there's no way these guys would get up. Well, Double J has got the kryptonite for those cowboy boots because he gets kicked in the face, rolls backwards, gets up immediately, and runs up the aisle. It's like, he doesn't sell it at all. No. Like, it was so lame.
He must have hated it, man. He must have not wanted to be out of there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he walks out in WWE like 3 times anyway, so.
Yeah.
Care. But the crowd blows up, man. They love that spot. Yeah. So. They love it. They're on their feet. They're literally on their feet at this point, you know. So, but then back to the match at hand. All the shenanigans are going on outside, and this is back to the ring, and there's another diving clothesline, and then a running DDT, which is what almost won the match at the Royal Rumble. But then he gives him a big boot, and that's the finish.
That's it.
He gives him a big boot, and Yokozuna falls in the casket, and then, but not, he doesn't just, Taylor doesn't just close the casket.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. He takes it one step further, and he goes international here, and he grabs a Japanese flag, and he breaks it over his knee to a rousing pop and throws it in the casket and then slams the lid shut. So,
a little much.
Yeah.
A little too far.
Yeah. Breaks the Japanese flag. Like, what?
You would not see that anymore these days in WWE, I don't think. Definitely not a Japanese flag. Maybe a Bulgarian flag or something.
Chris Jericho got fined for doing that to the, like, whatever that flag was a couple years ago.
Yeah. But.
No. But yeah, it was a little while. I was like, whoa. But I guess that harkens back to their match a year ago with, you know, they were on the, you know, the All-Americans versus the, whatever, the Un-Americans or whatever they were. So, foreign fanatics. So, anyway. He wins. The refs, poor refs, they got to push this double wide, double deep, double thick casket up the ramp, and they are struggling. There's only two of them.
Yeah.
And they're trying to push this poor thing up the ramp.
Double wide, double dip, double wide, double deep, double thick, double stuffed.
Double mint.
You know, they're pushing it back, and Jim Cornette and Mr. Fuji are just like waving their hands, complaining.
Yeah.
Why didn't Fuji and Cornette just open the lid and get Yokozuna out of it? There's no rule that you have to leave him in there. You know,
he's not dead. He didn't die.
You can open it back up as soon as the match is over.
Check on the poor guy. But
nope. And I was a little sad. There's no Santa this year. No Santa to celebrate with the Undertaker. Yeah.
No Santa Claus. Also, no Lex Luger in this match, so that was fine.
Yeah, I get, you know, they said it doesn't get any better than Lex Luger and Santa, so that's why he didn't bring him back this year.
They said last year it doesn't get any better than that. So, but yeah, he does the, you know, Undertaker does the pose in the ring, and Paul Bearer's waving the old IcoPro urn around, and the light shooting out of it, and it's just, yeah, it's good. And again, we end on a high note. Undertaker's in the main event again. He's not the champion. He's still an attraction. So you know Vince loves him. We love him. The fans love him. And thank you, Chuck Norris. I wrote.
That's all you guys
say. That's my words, and that's also from Dodgeball. So the movie Dodgeball. Thank you, Chuck Norris. So you think they watch this match? Like, we got to put him in Dodgeball.
It could be. Ben Stiller's, I think he's a WWE fan.
Oh, sure he is.
Yeah.
Sure he is. But, anyway, yeah, this is, you know, it's a close to this chapter of Yokozuna, but it's leading into this whole forgettable feud, in my opinion, with the Million Dollar Man and his Million Dollar Corporation.
Right.
This is going to take over most of 1995, isn't it?
Right, yeah. And like you said, you know, they it's an extension of what happened at SummerSlam, but they don't mention that at all. No, I mean, they're getting revenge. The corporation is getting revenge for what Undertaker did to DiBiase's Undertaker. You could play it like that, but they don't mention that at all. So it's kind of a missed opportunity. And in kayfabe, you would think that's what the storyline is, but they don't mention it. So I guess not. But would you recommend watching this match? How would you rate it with the last couple matches that we've seen in 1994?
It's 15 minutes long. It's 15 minutes, 24 seconds, man. It felt that long too, honestly. I mean, as far as seeing the Undertaker back and he's actually in a match that means something, whereas the Under Faker match didn't mean anything, I'd recommend it. You know, when it kind of closes the casket or puts a nail in the coffin of that, you know, that feud with Undertaker. So I'd recommend that. But you know, if you do need to miss it, it's okay. You're not missing too much. If you want to see Undertaker, you know, do a hate crime, break a Japanese flag over his knee,
yeah,
which is something he probably could have done in like 2001 when he was the American, you know, Kid Rock guy. So
yeah,
could have done that then. But but I wouldn't really, you know, say it's a one you have to watch. So there are definitely many better ones.
It was okay.
Definitely
way better than SummerSlam. Not as good as Royal Rumble. I don't think.
Right.
Even on the comedy scale, it's not as good as Royal Rumble. I do think Undertaker and Yokozuna have great chemistry together.
Sure, yeah.
Yokozuna definitely slowed down a bit, but they still have they worked with each other a lot, and they could do this match in their sleep, so it's fun.
Yeah.
Cornette, Fuji, Paul Bearer, Chuck Norris all are fun. It's definitely. In the whole Survivor Series 94 is a little cheesy all the way through, but
I think
it's a good show in my opinion. Again, it's right in my wheelhouse of nostalgia, so I've got a special place for it. The Bret Hart, Bob Backlund whole angle storyline I love that takes place earlier in the night, so I got a special place in my heart for this show, like I said, for a lot of these early shows. So
Backlund's 45 when he won the title that night.
Crazy. Yeah.
5 years old. And then he lost it, what, 3 days later to Diesel?
That's right. Yep.
So, your boy.
My boy. Diesel. We'll get to him soon, too. Yep.
Yeah. It is funny. Like you said, they have great chemistry, Yokozuna and Undertaker. And some of these big guys, they don't have that, you know? It's just like Gonzalez and Undertaker. But, you know, you see guys today, like Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. I could watch those guys wrestle. And I think Big Show and Braun Strowman, you know? It's just some big guys
sometimes
have
they click.
It together. Some don't. And, when they do, it's kind of like magic because it's cool to see him, you know, actually, even though Undertaker's style is kind of slow and methodical and plodding at this point in his career, it's still the matches are still entertaining, especially when he has a good guy that can bump, like even a fat guy like Yoko that can bump around. So,
And we'll get to some more Undertaker matches in 1995. And I think we said originally the two Kamala, two Giant Gonzalez matches were going to be our hardest stretch, but... Man, just looking down the barrel of 95, it's going to be tough, man. Not a lot of hope coming.
Not a lot of hope spots.
Not a lot of hope spots in 1995, but it should give us some interesting stuff to talk about, and we hope that you'll join along with us in the journey. I think it's fun if you guys out there listening, if you watch the matches ahead of time and you come up with your own opinions on it, because we would love to hear about it. You can connect with us on all the various social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, at Talking Taker, at Alex Dorio. You can connect with me as well on there. And I know Travis is checking the Facebook and the Twitters as well, so you can connect with him over there. We'd love to see you. Like us and follow us on all those platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and YouTube as well. You can like us, follow us, subscribe, leave a rating, leave a comment, leave some feedback, and let us know if you were in the Paul Bearer lookalike contest at Survivor Series 1994. Please send us a picture.
Any of you were actually part of that, I would love to see video footage of that.
Any Undertaker related Halloween costumes from this year, send us your pictures of those. We'll retweet you and share those on all the social media as well. We'd love to see all that.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
And again, if you were there in the Alamo for this match, please let us know. And other than that, take her easy.
In the eyes of a ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right. 'Cause the eyes of the ranger are upon you. Any wrong you do, he's gonna see.